You don't need to expect us. We're already here. The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
So, hello out there, everyone. And this is Why Not Do What You Can, and this is a really great show, and I don't mean to talk about myself, because I don't need anything, and I don't want no fame or nothing. And I have Tamara Kay, and I have Bo, and I have Turi Joyce, and I have
Hello.
Monty. Hello. And I have Scotty. And he has beamed us all in. And I think I have Clint Richardson coming in next if you want to bring him in, Scott. So we have, like, one of the biggest shows that I could get together. He says he'll be back in a minute. And what it's about is, like, we have to decide right now, are we going to continue this charade? Confusion, nonsense, there's so many words for it. And all we want is to know the truth or, you know, make sense of things. Like, why should life be confusing? And the question is, do we have life? Or, you know, what is this mess that we're in? And really, are we responsible for what we've been taught and we don't know any better? I mean, this is craziness, you know? Like, until we know better, we should actually fix it so that we're not confused. Anyway, I do have Clint Richardson here, too. So if you'd like to say anything, Clint, you're the number one on this show.
Why not? He's bubbling.
Oh, he's bubbling. Yeah, I can't see that. So, Tamara, you know, like, your points are the best I've ever heard. That's why I followed you here, and I wanted to learn everything about it and get out of this birth certificate thing at least. You know, like, I'm supposed to walk away. When the good people walk away, the band-aids aren't put on the system anymore, and everything comes apart because the good people are the ones trying to figure out how to keep it going. And I don't really, you know, who wants to just walk away? I mean, I'd like to fix this before I go. We should all have a good life.
There is the thing about, we need the, you know, everyone to do it once. Sorry. Oh, I was just when one person does it, it may not work. But I think you've mentioned as well, if all of us do it at the same time, that's when everything collapses. Sorry, Bo, go ahead.
Well, it's basically it's in the hole, as Bill Murray says. Tam, what do you got to say?
Well, what I have to say is check your account. If you got money, you're my law enforcement. If you don't, well, you're in hell.
As it trickles down the system, these entities are finding that they don't adhere to public law, they're not getting paid. And who is you? You is whoever takes up that title. One has to realize this.
Well, I think what she said, too, is if you have money in the system, you should get your affairs in order. Because, you know, like, my point was, I don't want any of it. I want to walk away. You know, like, I don't want to deal with it. I'd rather take care of myself and not have any needs.
Well, right now, I just come across it, and Trey Gowdy is literally questioning Comey to the grill. So that is going on live right now on Capitol Hill.
Who's Trey? What'd you say, Gowdy? Who is that?
Trey Gowdy. He's a...
Trey Gowdy.
Well, he's a... I'm not sure exactly of the position, but he's within the House committee, I believe, and he's obviously an attorney. He's a very good attorney at that, and he's questioning Comey right now about all the legalities for everything that's taken place within the past several months, a couple months at least.
So is he saying that, I mean, is he disputing Comey's claims of that everything's just fine, that he's going to stand with the original... FBI investigation decision?
No, it sounds like, you know, he's being put on the spot for holding the investigation. I mean, I don't have the live feed up right now because I come across it on another device I use to communicate through the radio station. But, I mean, it is happening right now. I wish I was able to get a live feed because it is very implicating, to say the least, for how he is not really able to answer these questions at all for which Trey Gowdy is giving him.
It's that old Gelnhausen effect, man. You ever heard of the Gelnhausen effect?
No, I haven't.
No. What is that?
I just kind of made that terminology myself, but the Gelnhausen charter. The Gelnhausen charter.
Right.
April 13th, 1180 AD. It just basically says, which the progress of fleeting time generally removes the knowledge of men.
Right, right. And they pretended that was the tree of knowledge, and that's not the tree of knowledge. I don't omit anything. What they had done is they took the easy way with Proverbs. Now, you're not supposed to teach Proverbs. And I spoke of this in the biblical text, and I wrote of this as Homer in the Homeric hymns and the Iliad. And these attorneys, what they've been doing, and this is the funniest because they're imbeciles. They're children need administration here because the Iliad, first of all, Homer wrote the Iliad. It's a fictional piece. It's about a cartoon. And this guy comes in playing Agamemnon taking over the world. And he always hires law enforcement, though, that like Delilah. And I spoke of this in Judges 16. And he took over my word as a bankrupt state. And he gave everybody Delilah. He said, Delilah upon my children. He's responsible for that thing because he created that thing. That's the Whore of Babel. Now, them attorneys and doctors and everything, they're all going to be held equally and severally liable, you know, of course. And then the people who are acting as trustees are, you know, we've got some treble damages and double damages. It depends only upon which title of office they were taking up when they were doing whatever and perpetrating treason against the United States.
Wiener damages?
Yes, I kind of think what they're doing is they're throwing everyone under the bus that they have to at the last minute, because if we wake up and stop paying attention to all the noise, we might make a decision like, you know, maybe we should all walk away and then, you know, we can decide.
No. See, what you don't get is
I don't get a lot of things. Go ahead.
The people that were being cannibalized, you were asking the Treasury to pay you to cannibalize them and their law enforcement, right? So I played Jesus and I showed law enforcement that you were cannibalizing law enforcement. You don't realize the peril here. You have a gun pointed to your head. You're embezzling from law enforcement. They're the guys with the guns.
Well, the thing that makes it funny is that they're psychopaths, and psychopaths don't consider the consequences.
Right, they have bullets pointed. They have guns pointed at your head. And
so that's why it's so entertaining in the news right now.
The next step is the negotiable instrument for the entry wound and exit wound. You realize that you're looking at being a subject of an autopsy here? Because I pay my law enforcement for that, too.
No, what I'm not understanding is why am I at fault when I don't want to be a part of it anyway? All I want to do is I want to get back to living.
Right, but you can't do that if you're trafficking my children.
But I have nothing, like I haven't done anything to hurt anyone most of my life.
All right, so you don't feel bad or anything. So we didn't just have this conversation again?
Be sure.
Oh, my.
Be sure. Yeah, I'm trying to say, where's this going? Help me here.
Right,
who's under attack?
Why are you defending yourself as a pedophile? Why are you defending yourself as a pedophile? I'm only killing pedophiles.
No, I don't know. When you say you, it feels like all of us.
Yeah,
that's why I keep wondering.
Listen. You know who you are because you lost all your money and assets. You don't have any money in your account. Go check your accounts right now. Okay? You know who you are if you're a pedophile. You don't have anything.
Yeah. It's like I...
Now I need you to realize something, that I'm going to kill you next because you're out of money. Right. Unless you start working for me and being slave labor, I'm going to cut the overhead. I don't do overhead. I'm not going to pay you to prey on me. That's war against me.
Wait. Help me here. Please help me here. When you say, are you saying it's you, or are you third personing this?
Okay, listen.
Well, who's taking up the title? It has to do with title. Are you defending you? Is you? Who you is? That's what I wanted to make clear.
Right. We just had this conversation.
Tammy chimes in when I'm not holding them accountable enough.
Right, but Bo, you were in on this conversation. Did any of that offend you, or were you glad in it?
Well, I get what you're actually saying now, because I've been down the path of the etymology of the language with you.
Right. So, and because you have no ill intent towards me or towards my children, you did not defend yourself.
Okay? Why would you defend yourself if you didn't do anything?
To be real quiet here, because what you're doing is you're incriminating yourself by the evidence with this conversation with me, and I need to make you aware of these things and let you know of your Miranda rights. This is Skype. This is a public platform, a public trading platform, and you are incriminating yourself, which this evidence can be used against you in a court of law. So you need to be aware of your rights here. You need to probably call your attorney or your representative to represent you so you don't dig yourself a deeper hole. And I am going to give you back the mic, Bo, and I will talk to you shortly.
See, she's really upset about them trafficking our children. That's the bottom
line. Me too.
So, I mean, you shouldn't come across as a word that invokes you to have to defend that title.
No, I'm saying if you use the word you, everybody that hears it feels like you're talking about them, you know,
right,
and you got to point it out.
They're used to
the confusion of the words.
But that's not what the word actually means.
Yeah, but if we don't know the words that we're using, it's not our fault either. We don't know that we're incriminating ourselves.
No, because, listen, I planted the tree of knowledge. I'm the one that planted the tree of knowledge, dude. So don't tell me how to work my ways here, because this is my way.
I don't know.
Okay.
Well, I don't believe in God to begin with, so I don't believe you planted the tree of knowledge.
I warned you that I was Lucifer several times. I gave you your
Miranda
rights. I did give you your Miranda rights, and you're free to go. You are free to go anytime.
I'm free.
But I'm letting you know that it stops here. And if you don't start working for the United States, you will be killed, because I'm not going to do overhead. And speaking
to me, the lowercase,
to the pedophile, speaking to the pedophile, as you know, if you are a pedophile, if you don't work for the United States and you don't get registered and get your documentation in there, I am going to kill you.
All right. What do you want the people of the world to say? You said that so many times. Really, what's the answer here? I want to learn something. I love Revolution Radio. I want to learn something.
May I interject?
Sure.
Please.
Because I came in late, I'm only posing a guess here. But knowing Tammy and having interviewed and been interviewed by her, I think that Tammy is essentially speaking one of the hidden lessons, I think, in the Bible is that when Christ spoke in public, he would always speak in parable. He would never speak directly. He would never use your name. He would never use anything that would incriminate him. He would always speak generally. And he would say things like, well, the wise man would do this and the fool would do this. And I think what Tammy is trying to do is sort of speak parabolically, because, as she said, this is a public platform. And she's sort of giving you a general, I am government, this is what I will do if you're a fool.
That's obvious.
I just wanted to throw that in there.
That was obvious.
Yeah, I think that helps a lot, Clint. Thanks.
Oh, you know what? I'm interjecting in something for just a second, but and this is totally off the record of anything that you guys are talking about, so I apologize. But I just saw on a post on Facebook. I'm gonna reconfirm it, but somebody says that the FBI agent who leaked into murder-suicide story, thankfully, is a hoax. So apparently that might not have actually really taken place like we think it did.
Or they're just saying it's a hoax, so we let it go.
Maybe.
That's the joke these days. Everything is confusing.
Although the person that's saying this is actually, I mean, the reason why I'm going to research it again is that the person that's saying this is actually, not pro-Hillary. I mean, they're not. I mean, they basically have the view that we believe that they're covering up the whole Lolita Express thing. They don't want to go into that area. And, obviously, it looks like Comey has some sort of, pressure on him right now to sort of whitewash this whole, to call off the, to say, oh, yeah, everything's fine, and then continue on with the investigation when on so many different levels, none of this is right.
Terry Joy, do you remember?
But maybe the the whole FBI agent leaked. I mean, the suicide thing. Maybe it is a hoax. It's hard to tell what is real and what isn't right now that comes out in the media. Even our own media is messing up. The alternative media or whatever's happening online is getting convoluted into what the truth is. And what I'm concerned about is if we don't vet what we're looking at really super well, then even we're going to look even more hokier than ever when in fact we are telling the truth in many cases. Everything is tricky. There's no black and white here right now. This media is compromised as well. I mean, yes. I totally believe that.
Well, the FBI doesn't want to tip their hat right now. They do have an actual investigation going on into the whole history of the Lolita, right? So I'm sure we haven't heard the last of it.
No, I don't think we have either.
You got to wonder what else is going on that we're missing if they're pushing so hard for us to be confused this week. Because this week is like, it's the week of the dead. It starts with Halloween, and we're going to elect somebody that we shouldn't even do. If they even pick this week to do it. That's how crazy this whole system is. But what I'm trying to get at is, what do we really know? I'm guessing. Why are we all guessing at this point?
Now, when Bill Clinton was president, he expanded the power of the presidency in the one of the conservation acts instead of its Byrd's Act. And as he signed that, now, as a conservationist, he knows that he's trafficking my children, and he's conserving my children. And he expanded his power in that document, which, of course, is not authorized by the Constitution. Now, that's evidence of child trafficking, by the way.
No, you're right, but, they're doing this, right in our face, and we don't even know it.
Right. These acts, these works and actions are evidence. However, before I got here, now, in the last 4 years, it's changed. The 1947 National Security Act no longer applies as it once did. Now it applies and is applicable in the manner of the Constitution, which is Article 1, Section 8, Clauses 1 and 2. You are there to maintain the general welfare and common defense of the United States. That's it. Okay, that's the National Security Act. Because you're there to maintain the general welfare and common defense of the United States, I'm going to pay you out of the Treasury to protect my children. That's your function. Okay, the 1947 National Security Act, however, changed the actions of the presidency. Now, it said in that he could delegate his authority to the CIA. Now, when we went through this, and I went through this as Jesus, it was the CIA. However, it was an offshoot of the CIA. In the Book 4 of the Church Committee reports, it had maintained that the CIG was closed down, the Central Intelligence Group, was closed down at the implication of the CIA. However, that was not the case. As Jesus, I was being tortured through that routing system by the CIG. And I am the evidence that that torture occurred because, of course, I'm the one being tortured. And each time that you torture me, I'm informing on you using my code. Now, what you're doing is you're hacking into the Code of Hammurabi. This goes all the way back to the Code of Hammurabi, the 12 tables of banking. You are bound by the 12 tables of banking if you're using the banking system. And, of course, the 12 tables are solidified by Table 9, the public law. You will not capitally punish anyone who's not been convicted of a capital crime. And, of course, this is reiterated in the Constitution. Now, so
is it that we don't know that we're, you know, working with this?
No, because if you were acting as the CIG, torturing me, and each time I gave you notice. Now I was tortured three times each time you tortured me. And I gave you notice all three times, and I said, are you sure you want to do this? I said, you're trafficking on a void instrument. I came in as an instrument on December 14th, 2012. I came in as a negotiable instrument called the United States.
And ever since then,
I have been trafficked as the negotiable instrument. So I feel all of it. I've got a freaking calcium shell on me now from all of the CL salts. I've spent a long time being yellow through a hepatic failure because you're dosing me with toxic waste and fracking me and all of these other things. And you know what you're doing.
Well, all of us.
Through the broadcast, the Board of Broadcasting, and I took away your broadcasting licenses and all of these things, and that was the reason.
My question is, like, how do we get out of it? And, like, what's the simplest way?
You need to work for the United States. Go register.
How should I work for it?
Apply for a visa. You need to apply for a visa because after I was tortured, you were deported. You are an illegal alien. I mean, that's just common sense. If you're perpetrating treason against me, you are illegal. You need to apply for a visa. And go through the hoops and everything else and pledge allegiance to the United States.
So where do you apply for that?
You would go anywhere. Go to Homeland Security. You need to go to Homeland Security.
And say that I don't feel like I'm a part of your game, but I would like a visa to get back to the United States.
Right. If you want to earn,
I want life is all.
Right.
Yeah.
If you want a life again after, you know, the revelation, you need to work for the United States and prove that you're not going to try to kill me again.
Well, I don't want to hurt anyone, you know,
If there's evidence, and of course I play Jesus, so there's evidence. If I have evidence that you try to kill me, you know, you're on probation or parole. And most of you, of course, are on the payroll, federal payroll. You will be paid minimum wage if you come work for the United States. And that means that you can take care of yourself and live in a decent house or whatever. But you're not going to have what you had before. That's not my law enforcement.
You're saying that people can get their visa and they won't have to worry about eating, at least.
Right. And
well, that sounds like the best plan. So right. why don't we know it?
You might have credit. You don't know. You know, there was a lot of Judas and they were trying to kill me because they needed money because of the force of it upon them and whatever. So, you know, you just earn the right to be again.
So you're saying depending on how hard your life has been because you've been, like, tortured because, you know, like, I don't know, you're kind of carrying a cross like Jesus anyway all through life, you know, so...
Torture really isn't torture. I mean, I didn't feel that.
No, I feel like torture. There's real no labor in life anyway. We're supposed to be enjoying that we're here or existing. But I'm just saying, you know, like, so the real solution or simple solution would be to go back and get a visa to be in the real country that you should have been in, right, that you don't even know you're out of.
Right. Right. And that'll get you fed, you know. Otherwise, I've got to feed you, and all I'm required to feed you is a pound of grits a day. So if you want to take care of yourself, it's a lot better. And, you know, it's whatever minimum wage is, and that is up to the law enforcement, of course. Whatever they feel is necessary for you to live in accordance with the poverty levels and all this stuff. That's their money you were embezzling. So, you know, and you can probably earn more if you work harder.
Work. Work, you slaves.
Right, and that's
well, I love work. I think that's right. What we're here for, is to enjoy, you know, getting things done and doing enough. You know, we should be busy all the time. There's so much to do.
Right, right. And it doesn't matter how old you are. There's non-discrimination clauses all over the place. You can be 80 and still work for the federal government.
The greatest civilizations, they had to work to achieve, you know, and accomplish greatness. I mean, look at the Giza pyramids.
Right.
I mean,
right.
You know, and everything else, you know, Göbekli Tepe.
Right.
You know, I mean, humanity needs to work to prosper and survive. But not only that, but to, you know, evolve into a higher consciousness. Even with that being said, it's hard to do that because we are under a form of control. And, you know, let it be religion, let it be, you know, governance of a nation or a country. It's just unreal because we can achieve so much greatness. But we're being held back. I mean, so, you know, I mean, like, look at the seven wonders of the world, you know, and well, what they were.
And the next one will probably be Trump's wall.
Building a statue of a man.
Yes.
A giant statue of a soldier, I guess, back in the times. I don't know exactly where it was around the world. But this thing stood over the mouth of a harbor. You know, yeah, we have the Statue of Liberty. Oh, big deal. You know, this one thing I'm talking about, it was huge. It was massive.
Well, these are all like...
We're not to where we're able to do that because we're being constrained. And I think a lot of it is a technological constraint. You know, you've got these devices, phones, tablets, TVs, and everybody's got their face glued to them. They're locked into the grid, this matrix where we can't...
No, this is our chance to...
Where we can hit that consciousness to evolve higher. And have a renaissance instead of an absolutely all out full hell bent blown out World War III nuclear annihilation. And if we don't fix our problems right now, that's exactly where we're headed. But we're being constrained by electronic communications.
Well, the United States uppercase is going to have to get with the program and have better relations with North Korea.
Well, you know,
how do we actually get our country back or have a country or live again? That's what we all want. We all want to live.
Right. We all want to live. That's a good question. How do we get it back?
How about can we get the world back, you know, not being a United States citizen or anything, being an Australian?
Yeah.
Let's not go into that. But, yeah, let's think a bit more globally.
It should always be everyone.
But the thing is, though, before we get to that point, we have to be able to, you know, choose and say to these, whoever they are running the world, the UN, NATO, you know, major alliances, let's say United States, Russia, China, we need to be able to get to the level within the military to tell everybody to stand down, because if we don't do that, we're going to be in a very bad state of mind. And, I mean, we're already in a bad state of mind for where everything is going on around the world. I mean, look at the Middle East, completely in absolute turmoil. Absolute turmoil. And like I said a while ago in the last half of the show, you look over there along the border of Russia and NATO, and, I mean, I've seen two or three different reports that we're deploying soldiers over in that area. And I talked to a guy a couple nights ago, National Guard of where the state I live and reside in, and he said they're going to be deploying to Germany. So, you know, we're looking over in Ukraine when they've got literally – trenches dug like World War One all along the Russian border in Ukraine. And I'm just saying we're being distracted by the thing that's going to kill everybody, and that's nuclear war. You know, and especially Russia just came out with this nuclear missile that can deliver a 40 kiloton, you know, warhead and take out an area the size of Texas.
And that's Satan too.
And then let's go with this. we've got all of the selling of U.S. state top secret security clearance documents being sold through the Clintons and Uma Abedin, who is a Muslim Brotherhood operative. She's a spy. You know, so is our system that compromised to where, you know what, they already know all the launch codes and they know how to counter them? I mean, damn it, we're running on floppy disks.
No, we're at the point.
Floppy disks that run these nuclear missiles in this country.
We're at the point where they own us and we cannot get out of it because they're making it so confusing and we don't know how to get out of it. We need a solution now.
Whenever the president gives the call to fire the nukes, they need to be followed. That's not something I want to hear my president saying, because that's damn dangerous rhetoric.
I remember the do no harm part.
So why are you having a president then?
Yes, exactly. That's what I said.
Why does everybody
why can't we stop this? Why can't we stop this? How can it be too late? Why do I hear too late too much?
I'm hearing a lot of fear.
Yes, that's what I'm
hearing. A lot of people in a lot of fear. That's all I'm hearing so far listening. There's a great book. It was actually the book that the Matrix movie was plagiarized from. It's called Simulacra and Simulation. And in that book, this guy said something that really made me understand the nuclear question, just to take one of many aspects of the fear that controls us. He says, paradox, all bombs are clean. Their only pollution is the system of security and of control they radiate as long as they don't explode.
And that's the point, is that it's all about fear. So if we stop having fear and we face our fears, and we could actually fix this real easily, because we wouldn't participate in what we're being said that we're at fault. But I have Wally Ladd here, so I have to introduce him a minute. Hey, Wally.
Hey, Tony. You got quite a crew in here today.
Oh, the best of the best here.
You know, interesting show. And, we have a lot of important issues out there. And what Tammy's doing is important. But I think we have a bigger issue. And John, you still on here? Yeah, I see you there. You know, reading the news groups, John Kerry isn't going to be in the United States for the elections. Now, the Secretary of State going to be in Antarctica for the elections? It's just a little strange, isn't it? What's going to be happening at who else is leaving the United States for Monday and Tuesday?
I'm leaving soon.
You know, I think we have a more important issue. Everything's going to be fine. I mean, Scripture tells us, you know, what's going to be happening. We can't change, you know, history. And, you know, we have to believe in our Creator and know we're all perfectly safe.
His story isn't our story anyway.
That's right. You know? That's right.
Go ahead.
What do you think is going to be different than the day after, just take the day after this election? What do you think is going to be different than the day after this election than the day after, say, December 21st, 2012? Or let's take the first of the new millennium or whatever, where the computers were supposed to shut down and everything was going to go to hell because the computer programs could not figure out their own clocks. What do you actually think? I would bet, and I would probably rest most people's fears by saying that, you know what, you're going to be just as disappointed after the election with all your fears that you are when Comet Ison didn't kill us all.
You are absolutely 100% correct. That man has been standing on that corner saying the end is near for the last 200 years. He's going to be standing there for the next 200 years.
Only if we don't kill each other, right?
That's exactly it.
Well, the important part, though, is, again, if this guy is saying that, you know, it's a paradox because the only way nuclear bombs have any effect is on us. And on nations, and on governments, and on militaries, and on politics as if they never explode. Once they explode, well, game's over. There's nothing left to fear. But right. there's only something to fear as long as the system of control is in place that we're all afraid of these things. Well, the same thing with the election, the same thing with politics. So what we really need to talk about is what these elections do to us. Look at the control that it has over us. We all know this is a very, very, very corrupt system. Most of us, I think, on this station anyway, know that that system has nothing to do with us. It's not our property. The money is not our property. They can take their money back at any time. What we register in the straw man name is not our property. Our children are not our... I mean, they can take anything they want from us at any time, just like the gold confiscation. So... what I'm trying to say is we should be actually looking at the effect of the election as it applies not to who's going to be president, because it's always the same bloodline family that's president.
Right.
You're voting for two cousins, 15th cousins, whose great-grandfather direct is King John. Right? That's the way it always is.
Right, right.
So we should be looking at how these elections, what is happening here, how is it affecting us? And like you said, it's not my president. This is a president of a corporation that was set up by Congress as basically a holding company for slaves. What is a slave? It's a person. A person is property of government. Well, why am I a slave? Because I stand in surety as I operate in that person. I do commerce in that person. I use its name, its number, its flattering titles, its insurances, its consumer protections. I do all these things, and therefore, because I operate in that persona, that false vessel, that citizenship on the sea of commerce, I therefore am bound to follow the law of that person, of that ship, in their system, because it's their property. The entire problem we have, even when we go and do the stupidest of motions, which is voting, is that we're doing so in their property. You see, voting causes half the population to get up, invoke their person, go and give a popular opinion poll, which is what they call it, and basically... that's all for nothing, because the popular vote isn't even counted. It doesn't mean anything. They don't use the popular vote. It's all done with the electoral system, which goes back to the Roman Empire. The whole thing is a charade to get a public opinion poll, and then the Electoral College basically goes, okay, well, they've chosen their ruler. They've done so in our property, in our person, which we assigned to them at birth. Right? So, I mean, the whole thing, look at what the election does to each and every one of us. Forget who's going to be president. Doesn't matter. It's the same family that's run the same corporations since, like she said, the Code of Hammurabi.
Right.
Look what it does to us. Look what it causes us to do. It causes us to literally stand in surety for their person and vote in a voting franchise to choose a ruler or to, I mean, technically what we're doing is we're voting yes. We're not voting for Trump or Hillary. We're voting yes. I accept what the Electoral College says. We don't have a choice to vote no or none of the above. That would be a choice. We don't have a choice. We have
that choice.
Well, that's what I brought this show together for.
You have choice to not vote for them. You can vote for your own house by doctrine of election.
Why do we have to vote? Like, I know we have to, but only because of the NOTA video that you put out, Clint, which is another reason I wanted you here.
I wanted to say, you know, I mean, what is it that would happen if everybody just said, you know, no, we ain't voting this year. It's a rigged system. There ain't nothing at all. All you guys are phonies. And everybody said, you know, and we're not even going to pay taxes.
And this is why
we're not doing anything. You would have to stand down.
You would have to get everyone not to vote, because that would mean that the president could become by three votes and three people voted.
And Clint has the best answer for this. Because
Well, they need the contract. They need the contract. When you go to vote, you're contracting, so you're just upping your contract for the next 4 years.
I think it's funny that it's not in all caps on your voting card, but everything else, because they want the live person to vote. But go ahead, Clint, because you said, you know, you put out a video called NODA, like none of the above, and you explained it really well, like why we have to write something in. Go ahead.
So we have the same elections. We have an indirect election for president. That's how it's listed. You go to Russia, you see a direct election. You go to India, you see indirect election. Turns out they have the same exact election cycle we do. They have an electoral college, just like we do. And they have a popular vote, just like we do. Well, years ago, they actually put together and got it passed on their ballots that they could vote none of the above. All right? Now, the problem with that is that's kind of a vote for nothingness, right? So here's what the NOTA opinion is when within the government of India. And this gives you an idea of how, folks, I'm trying to tell you, you don't vote for president in any way, shape, or form. Okay, so if you were to get a none of the above, which actually means you could vote no, right? Without a no vote, there's no choice. You're always voting yes. Yes, Hillary. Yes, Donald. Yes, third party. In other words, yes, electoral college system, and we go back to the same old, same old. Now, if you have a none of the above on your ticket where you can actually vote none of the above or NOTA, here's what it says. This is from the India Today online in New Delhi, keeping in mind they have the exact same system we do. NOTA option does not mean right to reject and won't affect election results, says former election commissioner. The none of the above, and this is from 2013, the none of the above NOTA button that electronic voting machines will have from now on does not give you the right to reject all candidates. He said the new provision does not mean that all candidates in a constituency stand rejected or defeated if the number of NOTA votes exceeds the number garnered by the highest vote getter. Even if there are 99 NOTA votes out of a total of 100 votes and candidate X gets just one vote out of 99, X is the winner, having obtained the only valid vote. And so what I'm trying to tell you by reading you this is that if you vote, you are voting yes. You're voting for a candidate, which means you're voting basically to put the family back into office. If you don't vote, if you don't go and spend the time doing something absolutely worthless, you are still voting yes, because if 99.99999% of the stupid population out there does not vote, and one asshole comes along and says, I'm Republican, damn it, and I want the Republican candidate. Well, the Republican candidate will win the election because he got one vote and no one else voted. Okay, that is the popular vote. That is how the system works. The popular vote does not count. It is completely the rule of the Electoral College. And I just want to get that clear because, again, look at what these election cycles do to us. They drive us crazy. They spend billions of dollars in propaganda. They tell us stuff that's not true. They go through the scandals. They want to see how much crap we will take, how much corruption will we take. Meanwhile, they get us to go out and do something that literally legitimizes the corrupt system, which is voting. If no one voted, then there'd be no legitimization of the system. But if one person votes Republican and therefore votes Trump or whatever, Hillary, then that one vote will win the popular election. The Electoral College will vote thusly, and nothing, it would be like nothing happened. So if everybody voted none of the above except one person, we're still all losers. Nothing we do is going to change anything because it's not our system. And for those of you, I'm sorry to burst your bubble, but for those of you that say you want to take your country back, you never had the country in the first place. It was never your country in the first place. It was the king's country. And before it was the king's country, it was the Aboriginals' country. You have no claim to the land. You're not a private landholder. You're a public persona, a character in a big action movie called the United States, just like every other nation out there. A nation is strictly a holding company for the goyim. That is what we are acting as. Sorry.
No, you're fine.
Wow,
you're
great.
That's what we need.
You're absolutely correct.
Mm-hmm. Well, all of the countries, quote unquote, again, I've said this many times, but they're all corporations located somewhere either in Washington, D.C. or Delaware, and Dun and Bradstreet, or on Dun and Bradstreet.
Yeah, Bo,
that's where the country is.
So can we, like, stop participating and stop this thing and do something different?
It's too late to do that now. For like,
well, never too late. Come on, I don't
I
like
mean, I'm just saying, like, for this election, obviously.
Can we delay the election?
No, the thing is, Tony, is that was never an option.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
Literally, the election has nothing to do with you. It doesn't matter what you say, what you do, whether you participate or not. The election has nothing to do with you. You're a voter, not an elector.
That's right.
So the point is that we make all this noise and we actually get a point out, you know, but it's the only time that people are listening. So this
you may as well
really
watch NASCAR
time.
Or football.
But whatever we say here could change something. It's not that we can't change the vote or the way people are thinking, but we could actually give some solution to people that are about to get tortured in a way.
Well, what I think Tony's trying to say is, what can we do?
Yes. I've been saying it.
And
that's
no
response. That's
an
answer.
Only after years to
hours and hours.
Tony, that's a $64,000 question.
I think it's funny we don't know what the answer is.
I think we're going to have to make it up as we go along, really.
But us.
Right. Why
I'll
not
tell you,
us?
I'll tell you the truth, man. I heard the answer the other day. There was a congressman, from what I understood, the reason he was doing what he was doing is because he was a quote-unquote openly gay congressman, and he was talking about some sort of right, whatever it was, something about churches and religions and how they should keep to themselves, etc. And what he actually said, I actually believe we should force him to follow up on this, because what he says, if you don't like it, and this is the only true statement I think I've ever heard out of Congress, he says, if you don't like it, get thyself to a nunnery. Go join a monastery. And you know what? To tell you the truth, that is the actual correct answer. The question is, can you start a monastery that is not part of the Catholic Church? Can you start a monastery that is actually a true religious freedom, religious law monastery? He actually gave you the keys to the kingdom. He said, "Go." He basically told you, go live under the religious law, or the law of God, and not the law of mammon or the law of man. That is the key. Now, people aren't going to like to hear that, but I've spent years and years researching, and I actually know that that is a true statement.
Well, that's the best answer I've ever got, and I really love it, because can I call nature a monastery?
Well, you can prove it's there. That's a start.
No, I mean, it's always taken care of everybody. It's always been the place to go. It's always the solution. You know, you walk away and you're safe. You know, you're protected by the creator in nature. You know, you don't need any of man's ways, because you learn from nature anyway. Man only confuses everyone.
So the real issue is that these nations, and I'm here to tell you that in my understanding and my research, everything in the Bible basically says, hey, get out of the nations. Hey, leave the nations. And hey, for those who do escape the nations, get together and practice the natural law, is basically what the Bible says. It talks about escaping the nations all over. It says all the gods of the nations are idols. Well, what's a god? It's a magistrate. It's a pope. It's a king. It's a president. It's a governor. It's a mayor. Those are the gods. And when we go to court, we plea to the gods, except in the old books it used to be called prayer. We pray to the court. We pray to God. You see, we're going to have a God no matter what we do. The question is your God going to be the Pope, the Antichrist, or is it going to be the Son of the Word of God? In other words, the literally the Bible. You have to understand, and this is something I didn't understand until very recently, and it made everything clear to me. The reason the Bible is so prevalent in government, you swear an oath on it, all roads seem to lead to it when you can't find any other answer, it's because the Bible is actually the very foundation of the common law. It's called the unwritten law, as opposed to Hammurabi's 12 tables, that kind of thing. That's all written law, or the Roman law is called the written law, the strict law. But the Bible is actually the very foundation of the common law. It is the unwritten law. And if you bypass the Bible and don't follow it, and what does it say? It says don't respect any form of person, which includes the person that you're acting as, citizenships, includes corporations, associations, political parties, all that. All those are persons, right? It says don't take any flattering titles. What's a flattering title? Christian is a flattering title. President is a flattering title. Don't respect any of those flattering titles. It says don't take any oaths. It says don't do this. Don't pledge yourself to anybody. Don't take any gods before me. Well, we're taking the president as our God. We're taking the people that we pledge allegiance to as our God. You see, this is actually the very foundation of law. That's why you always hear that the Bible gives you a choice. You can either follow the natural law, which means never have anything artificial. Never put any titles or names, surnames. Always use only your Christian name, never your last name. Never register. Don't be taxed by Caesar, right? Don't be in the district, which is the nation. And district means distraint, distress, and seizure, right? You got to understand that the reason we're all in this problem, in this mess, in this fiction, in this matrix, is because we're ignoring the foundation of law, the one thing that has all the answers in it. I'm surprised to tell you, and this is what my book is actually going to be about. All the answers are in there. The problem is we're doing everything that is completely opposed to the natural law. All the natural law really means is don't participate in fiction. And yet everything we're talking about right now, from the presidential elections to wars to politics to everything else, it's all artificial. It's all fiction. It's got our minds. We're so stuck in the fiction that we have no idea that all we have to do is go back to the natural law, which means don't respect any of this shit.
Okay, I'd like to say something about the fiction aspect of everything. We can call all of the structures fiction and none of it not really being real, but the fact of the matter is there are children being killed over this. There are people that are suffering due to a power that is running things that shouldn't be running it. So, you know, I mean, and again, when you talk about natural law, everybody's so confused with all the different religions that are out there and which religion is correct and which should be the law of everybody.
Okay, well, let me correct
you're
you.
You're talking very complex. I mean, where can you get?
It's not complex.
We have to get,
no, it's simple.
You're basically saying one book is over the other and everybody in the entire world needs to conform to it when a lot of people would disagree with that.
He didn't say that. Let's just talk about the Bible,
how it's been altered on so many different levels, that how can we even really be sure that that should be laid down as the ultimate law of the land in its literal form?
Well, I think you're understanding what I'm saying.
And it's something that's being compromised on many different levels that we might even be having a reality that's being orchestrated around it based on these books and myths and things that aren't even really true about what's really going on in the world.
Do you want to know the answers to all these questions you just asked?
I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling like you, whoever said that, do you want to have the answers? I don't think you have the answers.
I do, actually. I've spent years.
Sitting here at this round table really has the answer. We're contemplating things is what I'm doing.
Can I speak?
Oh, well, you have been, but go ahead, yeah.
No, Terry, this is why I brought these people here, because this is the closest answers that we can find. And Clint has put in the time. So go ahead, Clint.
So, first of all, you're confusing, and as I always did, and anything I say about you, I say about myself. So please,
confusing something, right? I'm confusing something. Okay, right. What am I confusing?
Did you hear what I just said?
You just said I was confusing something. What is it?
You have no reason to be.
No more anger, please.
Yeah, could you press mute and just I'll press mute when you talk.
Oh my God! Well, you know what? I think I'll press mute and just go ahead and leave. Bye, everybody.
Have fun. Wow.
This is a perfect example of what has happened. This is the information war. This is how brainwashed we've become. Because
people are dropping their friends on Facebook over this election.
Yes, yeah. We're all afraid. We're not all. I should never say that. Go ahead.
Yeah, so there's absolutely unnecessary anger going on whenever the word, the Bible, God, or anything is brought up, because nobody knows what it means, right? They don't teach us that. The reason they don't teach us that is because it is the foundation of law. It's not a question of whether it should be. I'm telling you, it is the foundation of law. It's always been the foundation of law. That's why it's the King James Bible.
I love how loud your sound is, so you can put that out. We'll all be back in about 2-3 minutes. Thank you.
Yeah, buddy.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
That things were not quite right, that everything was just ever so slightly askew?
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
So, welcome back, my best friends, you know, like, this world, you know, this show has to end, and it's our show time, you know, it's when we can speak and actually say something and sing when we couldn't before, you know, because of all this stress. So, what's going on right now is, first, this is the best show ever, because I'm sure of that, and we're trying to explain, like, what all these great researchers have found over, like, probably 5 to 10 years at least of just intense looking for the right answers because of what we've all been going through. So you got to pay a little bit of attention here because we spend all of our lives paying attention to all this noise and confusion. And, you know, when you really look at it, we're wasting most of our lives over something that really has no value at all. Like, what is life? And there's that word conscience, you know, that's con science. So anyway, I'll turn it over. Go ahead.
And the word religion is relearn. But Clint, you were going to answer Terry's questions.
Yeah, I mean, I'd
like to hear those answers.
I want Terry to know that I didn't mean anything. I don't exactly know what she's upset about, but I do know that people just automatically get upset over the concept of religion. And what I'm trying to get across is that the Bible is not religion. This was the great awakening moment for me when I realized that the Bible has nothing to do with the religions of the world. Just like the Masonic lodges, they actually call the Bible their furniture. They call the Talmud, the Quran, and the Bible the furniture of the lodge, right? They say that that's their holy sacred book, but all what it really is the furniture of the lodge, just like the Bible is the furniture of any denomination of the Roman Church, whether that's Methodist, whether that's whatever Christian church. The word Christian comes from Rome, not necessarily, I mean, it's actually in the Bible, but it's used as an insult. There's no part of the Bible that says, come be a Christian. And this floored me because I realized that the Bible is against religion. The Bible is against the state and especially the notion of the nation. And when I understood that, I realized, hey, that's why all the laws start pointing towards the Bible. The Bible is a set of law. It is the foundational law. And the only way I can really explain this is to let you listen to what the opinion of the court is. Because I don't want you to think I'm spouting out my opinion. And what I was trying to tell her was that anything I say to you, I say to myself, because I'm in the same boat. We have two kinds of people out there. We have people that go to some religion that calls itself Christianity and that has its own doctrines. And because of that, the people who go to that church, that religion, love their religion but hate the Bible. In other words, they have no idea what the Bible says because they're listening to some priest that was trained in some university that has nothing to do with what the original writings and intent of the Bible was. Then you have the people who don't go to religions and churches. They hate religions. And I was one of those people. And great. That's great for them because that also makes me hate the Bible, even though the Bible has nothing to do with that religion. It's got its own doctrine. And that's why the Bible says don't take any other doctrines of any other men or any other antichrist. It's beautiful when you understand
yes.
that the Bible is law. It is not religion. Now, let me go to the 1889 dictionary. And I'm sorry, it's kind of a long definition. But by the end, you will fully understand what the Bible is. That it is the established law. It is not.
I got a real good question, real quick.
It is not a question of if it is or if it is not.
Where does the Talmud, the Torah, Mahabharata, where does all of this all fit into the same story? Because there are stories within all these religious texts that reference the same thing.
Because they borrow from each other so that they can fool us the best. Go ahead.
Well, the Talmud is considered the civil law of the Jews. The Pope created the civil law in along with the ecclesiastical law, and you can look all that up and you can see where in history the Pope actually created the entirety of the civil law, which of course is secular, purely secular, having to do with money and everything that the Bible is against. Thus, the Church, you know, when the Pope says he's claims to be the vicar of Christ, vicar meaning vicarious, or in the place of, instead of, opposed to, or anti-Christ. And that's what the Pope's title is vicar of Christ. It's also the title of the Queen. So what's important to know, though, is actually in this definition, which is that the Bible was part of the common law, or is part of the common law of England, and when America was established, the colonists still called the king God and still got their natural rights through God, which was the king, the vicar of Christ, right? And that aspect of Christianity being part of the law was transferred over to the United States. This definition is out of 1889, William C. Anderson's 1889 dictionary, and it tells you everything you need to know. I'll copy it over into the chat as well. But Christianity is that system of doctrines and precepts taught by Christ, et cetera, et cetera. Christianity is said to be part of the common law. Christianity is parcel of the laws of England, and to approach the Christian religion is to speak in subversion of the law. So now you can maybe understand why when someone did speak against the Christianity, quote unquote, the true notion of it, not the church, not necessarily the religion, that now you know why there was such a strict taboo against talking about it, because you're literally talking about the law. Right? Notice it doesn't say a subversion of the religion. It says subversion of the law. The essential principles of natural religion. That is not a corporation calling itself the Vatican. That is not a corporation calling itself the president of the Mormon Church. That is the natural law. The natural law or religion are part of the common law. So that any person reviling, subverting it, or ridiculing them may be prosecuted at common law. Remember, this was 1889. Okay? It's not calling it religion. It's calling it law. The true sense of the maxim is that the law will not permit the essential principles of revealed religion to be ridiculed or reviled. Christianity is a part of the common law of Pennsylvania in the qualified sense that its divine origin and truth are admitted. And why it says that its divine origin and truth are admitted is not religion. It is saying that the truths, the parables, the things that are written in the Bible are what are called self-evident truths. They are of the negative, not the positive part of law. They are things that cannot be disputed. And when you read the Bible, you start to discover what those are, and it's quite incredible. Again, that's not a religious opinion. That is the law of nature, literally.
Go ahead.
So it says to defile the law, the Bible, is to defile. It's an injury of the public, not Christianity founded. See, now it tells you right here, not Christianity founded upon any particular religious tenets, but Christianity with liberty of conscience to all men. That's conscience. To all men. The maxim does not mean that Christianity is an established religion. So there again, don't get angry. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about the Bible. Nor that its precepts, by force of their own authority, form part of our system of municipal law. What is the district? What is Washington, D.C.? It is a municipal corporation. What is the city that you, in the county that you live in? It's a municipal corporation with municipal law. This is telling you that the precepts, the Bible, cannot help you if you're part of the municipal system. If you're districted in any nation, you're screwed. You don't have the power of the natural law or the Bible. Nor that the courts may base their judgments upon the Bible. What's that telling you? The Bible can't protect you if you're acting in the personhood of the United States. Nor that religious duties may be penally enforced. This is why they call it the unenforceable and unwritten law. Nor that legal discrimination in favor of Christianity is ever allowed. It goes on, it says, but the law does not attempt to enforce the precepts of Christianity on the ground of their sacred character or divine origin. In other words, we're not talking about religion. Though we may admit their continual and universal obligation, that is that notion of the negative duty to uphold the right of everyone else not to be screwed with. You know, do no harm, that kind of thing. We must nevertheless recognize as being incapable of enforcement by human laws. In other words, it's a choice. You either follow the natural law, the Bible law, the scriptural law, you follow Christ, or you don't. Christ is just the personified character that you're to follow as an example of how to follow the law. It's not a man in history. It's not some dude that's coming back to save you. The only way Christ is coming back is if you manifest it in your actions. It's a consciousness. These precepts, moreover, affect the heart and address themselves to the conscience. While the laws, now this is it. This tells you everything. While the laws of the state can regard the outward conduct only, for which reasons Christianity is not part of the law of the land in any sense, which entitles the courts to take notice of and base their judgments upon it. So you're screwed if you try to invoke the Bible while you're a U.S. citizenship. In surety for the property of another, you're screwed. You're in fiction. You're not in nature. You're not in reality. You're not under God, in other words. Except so far, they can find that its precepts and principles have been incorporated in and made a component part of the law of the state. Now, that's referring to the principles of law, which everybody should know if you have any inkling to really understand what a judge is bound by, then you have to know the principles, the maxims of law, a lot of which, the foundational ones which, are from the Bible. They even use Bible verses to quote from when you're studying the maxims of law. All right? Once you deny the maxims of law that are biblically based, then you get the ones that say the judge can say black is white, up is down, and left is right. Because it's fiction. So you're leaving the reality of nature, the natural law that you know encompasses it, and you're entering into fiction. And finally it says the maxim can have no reference to the law of the national government, since the sources of that law are the Constitution, treaties, and acts of Congress. Now, you've heard this nation. You've heard the term Christian nation. That is an absolute fallacious statement. The only reason they would call it a Christian nation is if the men that were in the states, that were in that nation, were actually acting Christian-like. So what I'm trying to tell you, I'm not trying to sell you any religion. I'm trying to tell you that you've never read the Bible. No one I know has ever read the Bible and gone through the concordances and actually seen the original words. Tammy Pepperman, probably one of the few exceptions, that has actually gone back and understood what these words in the Bible mean, that the Bible is law, not religion, and that religion and state law or man's law takes you away necessarily and is actually opposed to the natural law, which comes from the Bible. And that is my rant for the day.
That was great. And here's what it is. It takes a while to realize what these words mean and what's going on here. And we don't understand, and we're being constantly confused, because if they can keep you confused, they can steal all of your life, your energy, everything about you. You don't have anything until you realize that you want something else. It's crazy how far that we will go, like, you know, how much the market will bear, or how they put all of this industry on our backs, you know, then somebody else can jump into.
You know, Tony, it's real interesting, the show tonight. And, you know, just to, Clint, as you were talking, what came to mind, I think it says in the Bible, Christ says, pay the tax man, give the tax man his tax.
Yes.
So, yeah, it really resonates, Clint. Thank you. That was wonderful.
He's saying it owns you. Give it back.
Think about what it says. It says, render back to Caesar what is Caesar's. Right. Well, yes. What did Caesar render to you? Caesar is another word for district, by the way. Well, your person, right? Your straw man, your character that you play, the actor that you play, the puppet that you master in commerce, give it back to Caesar. People are always asking, what is the solution? What is the solution? Well, go look up the definition of solution, and you'll know what the solution is, because the only definition in legal terms and in spiritual terms is end of contract. End of the contractual relationship, which if you're walking around using the name, number, and mark of a beast, of someone else's property, of someone's person, well, yeah, you're doing just that. You're acting in what Caesar rendered you. So render back what is Caesar's. End the contract. And remember, the only way that you can contract a disease is through a contract. You don't get disease. You don't become, you know, the natural law is called the highest law. Of the highest language, they say the gods speak in verse, which is why the Bible is in verses, and the proles speak in prose, which is why we're always speaking literally when everything in the Bible is figurative. That's why we can't understand it, right? So literally, instead of asking what is the solution, go look up the word solution. Instead of asking what, who, why, where, when, what, you know, what is God, go look up the word God in the Bible. You'll be shocked at what it actually says. You'll be shocked at what a God actually is. It's a generic term. It means absolutely nothing until you go back to the original language. And then you find Jehovah, which is, you know, wow, what a thing. It's basically nature. Nature worship is Christianity. Sure. Oh, my God, I would have thought that. Right? It's all of existence, all that is in self-existence with no interference by man. That it is the God of existence, the God of nature. It's one and the same. It's amazing when you realize
what makes
words
us grow. We're here to learn what's going on. That's what it is. We're going through a lot, but this is what it takes to, like, you know, figure it out. And really, we're in a season that we're just coming out of, like, a 2012. I know, you know, these are all numbers, but there's 33-year seasons, and they line up. And 2012 was the end of a season of poisoning and all kinds of stuff. And we're going into a season of war, but this season of war, and this is a springtime season, the one that we just got out of was the wintertime season, and it follows the four seasons of the earth month, you know, or year. But the thing is, we have 33 years of spring. Now, we're growing out of a bunch of crap that just happened to us in the winter season of 33 years. All the poisons that started with the AIDS thing and the monkey viruses and all these vaccines and stuff like that, and it's pollution changing our food, you know, our system for cures. There is no cure. That's what we just got out of. The next one is 33 years of war, if we pick that, or we can use our technology for everything to be free. Like when we spend $500 billion on war in a year, you know, we should all be billionaires, right? You know, like, how can we spend that kind of money? It's not even possible. That's why when Tammy says they're broke, sure, they just spend everything on war. Because they know we're at the end of this cycle of, are they going to believe us or not? Go ahead.
Well, So the war is about the bonds and the bonds that change. If you want a good read, go read The Genocide Order, or you can listen to it on YouTube on the featured channel, the Bono's Entertainment Channel. But it's not the natural law that we're coming back under that's going to turn things around. It's a public law which is already being invoked. And you see it in the news. They're putting it out there in the mainstream media. That's why I only read the mainstream anymore. Because the scribes always follow the winner. And it goes back to, again, the 12 tables of banking. Public law is number 9. Okay? And it says, no laws of exemption shall be passed or proposed. Laws concerning capital punishment of a citizen shall not be passed. It goes on. It basically is talking about if you're trafficking children, okay, putting them up as negotiable instruments, innocent children, that's a violation of the public law. But, yeah, in the more general sense, it's not to be confused with the Hippocratic Oath, but means do not harm. Asimov's laws of robotics actually regurgitate the public law. Familiar with the robotic laws, the 3 laws of robotics by Asimov?
No. Are you talking artificial intelligence or, no, I don't know.
Yes. But artificial intelligence...
go see the
program to be robots through,
yes,
training in the Hitler youth camps.
Yeah, we are artificial already.
Still have free.
Go see the movie I, Robot, and you'll get a quick lesson in the rules of robotics, the laws of robotics.
So, what's the direction?
Well, I would disagree. I don't think disagree is the right word, but when you're talking about notions of the public law, it depends on where you're standing and who's speaking and what proprietary government is speaking that word. Because
you don't have any standing if you violate the public law, you're civilly dead. Right.
Well, I say no because to be in the public law is to be spiritually dead. You want to be private, not public.
No. If you violate the public law, you're civilly dead. It means the millstone is now around your neck.
Well, we're saying the same thing. I'm saying to be in the public law or to be under it is to be spiritually dead. Because you're not under the natural law if you're under the legal law.
Well, even under a natural law, if a species of animal notices that there's a cannibal amongst them, don't they kill a cannibal?
Well,
I mean, that's to make the species survive.
Well, wouldn't they just go their own way and get away? Like,
yeah,
the thing is, why? Why?
You want me to support you? Because I could send you to Mars. I can do whatever I want to my slaves. So you make up your mind as to how you want it to work out. Because I can kill you and cut the overhead because I'm not going to pay you. And, you're worthless if you're preying on my children. You're worthless.
So here's
the thing. You don't mean anything to me. So I can kill you really easily. Not to mention, you were asking me to pay you to prey on my children out of the treasury, which is embezzlement. It kind of pisses me off a lot.
You know, what I'm doing is I'm wondering if it's me or the fact that I'm playing in this game that makes it me, and that's why you keep saying you.
I said, if you are preying on my children, referring to the child
spend
predator,
money.
And you continue to take that as your title, and you're incriminating yourself. And that's why I gave you your Miranda rights, and I said you might want to get a representative because you seem to be mentally deficient here. Because
you're right.
When I speak to the predator, you're taking that as your title, so you really, really need an attorney here. You need representation,
I'm taking nothing.
You're an infant in need of administration, and so you are required to be picked up by some form of salvage, towing, whatever. Somebody needs to salvage you before you kill somebody or yourself.
I'd like to say hello. I just jumped in to say hello.
Yeah, I was just going to introduce you.
Introduce me?
Go ahead, Jerry. You're the best.
I want to say hello to two old revolutionary comrades that I know, Bo and Tammy. Hi. Are you here?
Hey, Jerry.
It's been a long time. I need to manifest some Indian spiritual realms to the world. I'm doing okay, but I called because it's been a long, long time to say hello to you and Bo. John Wayne, well, I want to say hello to you and Wally and Scotty.
Good evening, sir.
And hey, Mr. Monte. And the Corporation Action, I don't know who exactly that is, but Tammy Garrell, Tammy lady friend. It's been a long time. And I just got in the house, and I was trying to raise some consciousness in my community, and they don't understand Indian language when I go, let's go. But anyway, I'm just rubbernecking and jumping in to say hi.
Yeah, that's a good thing you did that, because I would like all the people to announce, like, what they do. You know, like Clint Richardson just put a video out on NODA, and he just did a book on the straw man story. So, you know, please explain a little bit about that, right?
Well, I'd like to ask Tammy a question. Tammy, you know, you've been familiar with that the Bundys up in Oregon have just been acquitted, and we're on to a little battle that has made an accomplishment for the people. Now that journey is going to come down here to Las Vegas, where I'm at, for the Nevada trial of the BLM incident. In the meantime, we've got our other group of friends up there in Dakota that have gathered all of the nations. They're gathering nations of all of the nations of the people. The
indigenous.
The bison indigenous.
The former nations. You're talking about the former nations.
What I'm trying to ask you, dear, it's been a long time. In your mind thought, in your conscience, like I said, we just won a battle with Nevada, and the Bundys are still sitting up in prison. Are incarcerated.
Right, right.
And now that we the people, we the global community, have made a very big patient win, and now we've got this crap with the election that's just throwing everybody around, and then we have the Bundys coming up, and we have this issue with the water. Humanity is being thrown under the bus so bad. What do you feel?
Humanity is not being thrown under the bus. These are the former nations that are protesting because I took away their rights, and I had them deported. They don't have any rights until they apply for visas to live in the United States. They were perpetrating treason against the United States by trafficking children through the use of my code. And again,
I don't understand that. What I want to understand is your philosophy on these gains. I want to know your ideology on these gains.
You're going to have to stop interjecting. You're going to have to stop interjecting.
All right, I will. Shut up.
I played Jesus. I took the cross up for mankind. I entered my negotiable instrument as me on December 14th, 2012. And ever since then, you have been fracking me, digging into me, putting mining claims on this board instrument. And I volunteered on behalf of your children, your wives, your husbands, your sisters, your brothers, your mothers, your dads, whatever. And every time you tried to maintain a lien against a public vessel, I got it. And that is the walk of Jesus. Bible means life.
Okay,
walk.
All right, but not all of us walk Jesus. I'm 50% Indian. Right. Let me work with this so the people know understand where you're coming from, because I'm going to pick your brain. What I'm going to say is, we all have a creator. We all, as humanity, I don't care if you're Jesus or Uncle Ernie or Moses or Muhammad. We are all humanity. We all have souls. And wait. Let me emphasize, because this is important. The ideology is the conscious, the creator. What makes us pure? What makes us right? And that's the law I'm trying to say. So, well, hold on, because I'm going to go. What I'm trying to say is, we are making steps. But
you notice. You need to provide notice, because you, and this is a collective you, and I'm speaking to the one that I refer to in the following manner. Okay,
yeah.
You have been trafficking children, so I took away your rights to do that. Now
I'm
you
not trafficking. I'm selling marijuana.
That's fine.
No, I don't want to be silly.
I love you too.
No.
Right. Have I busted
We're
you for
playing
marijuana?
In the game.
But listen here. Listen, please. Just give yourself. Please listen to me, okay? Please, just absorb what I'm trying to put in your mind. Yes, they're throwing. That's the front page, and then it goes to the back page. Yeah, they've done all this. We know that. What I'm trying to say, that's not the answer. I'm trying to get the answer of you to think. Wait. I'm trying to get the answers of your mind. To say,
children unlawfully. You are trafficking children. This is
yes,
insane.
And it's
we
just
have,
in the front of the.
Excuse me a minute. We have to put this in a way that people aren't feeling like there's no way to fix it. We have to fix this. That's the whole point.
You can't say we. We are. I'm not them. We are not. We. What? Pam. Slow down.
You
I'm trying to get you to think
you
in the mind.
Answer. Otherwise, I have to kill you if you won't stop praying on my children.
Kill anybody.
I'm gonna have
I'll step on your feet.
How about nobody gets hurt?
Right. But my obligation under the 12 tables, under table 9, is that I have to kill you if you won't stop praying on humanity.
But listen,
actually, we never die anyways.
Stop for a minute.
I'm going to have nightmares tonight.
What I'm trying to say is the consciousness is what works. You can say all you want. You can kill all you want. That's not the answer in my book. The answer is that we are winning a consciousness in slow gains with Bundy's, Oregon, the Constitution, that kind of law. But the American government has been changed where, in one instance, is 1871. They've changed the Constitution where the empire is in the control. And we've got to gain it back because it's two-sided. It's two ways. And that's where we're at now. And I'm going to ask you, without law, with what your soul feels to gain, not your law ethics. Your law ethics are going to be thrown out the bus. Because
I'm an outlaw. I want to be an outlaw.
That's all I'm trying to say. What does your heart feel? It's our hearts that got a game. They just made a thing that America, that the government, federal government does not honor the treaties. It's been proven over and over again. The American federal government is part of the empire, which is part of the triad. And that triad is the City of London administration, the Vatican, and DC. It's been proven over and over. That's the concept we have to express to the global community and the Americans and whoever that guides to the light. It's the light we need.
Jerry, let me ask you a question. At what point are you talking about going back to? There's a lot of people talk about when America was great. Was that when there was slavery? When exactly was that? And then second, when exactly do you think there was a point where this land was not either under the king or under the states, the private people of each state?
That's a big question because that's a good question.
I'll tell you.
They made steps. The Illuminati was actually formed in 1776. They made steps. They came journeying over here as colonists. It was already in concept with the Virginia Charter. Any land and farms or whatever was in the charter, the Virginia Charter in 1606.
Which belonged to who?
It was the king signed the Virginia Charter. Okay,
what claim do you have on the land, and what claim do you have that says you're a party of the Constitution, to the Constitution?
Okay, I'm going to tell you. That as they made steps, that was 1606, okay? 1776 rolls around, they made steps again. They formed the Illuminati. When we signed the Constitution, it was barred. Then they made the Paris Treaty a little bit later.
Wait, I'm sorry. Who signed the Constitution?
Well, I'm just saying, in 1781, the Constitution was formed.
What did the Constitution say in the preamble?
I just know this.
Well, I do, so let me tell you, because it's not you. It says this Constitution is for us and our posterity. We the people, which was not you and not me, we the people was a bloodline of people who are straight from the king, from their little company stores, that formed the Constitution and formed a district. It was not for you. It's for ourselves and our posterity, which means bloodline. It's not for you or not for me.
I copy. What year was that? What year, sir?
Sorry?
What year was that signed and then into that agreement? When? When was that?
That's what the preamble to the Constitution says.
Pardon?
That's what the preamble to the Constitution says.
When was that documented, signed into...
we accepted it back at the time of the Independence Day, but even independent, you're dependent. You're independent.
So,
you know,
all I'm trying to say is the empire is got to be crushed. And that's who you're talking about, Clint, and that's the triad.
I think that's what Tammy was talking about. You got to kill all ourselves if we keep playing this game. If you keep exchanging money, we're part of the problem. We're actually supporting killing children.
When Tammy says the word kill, and when the Bible talks about killing or death and being dead, it's actually not really talking about taking someone's actual life away. It's talking about taking your political status away.
You'd have to explain that, because the common listeners out here need to learn that. So you don't say kill. You say it's got to be destroyed in a manner where we the people, the consciousness of the light, need to overshadow this darkness and bring in a balance. That's why I am here at Revolution Radio. To get a balance back of the satanic veil of darkness. Over.
And Clint is all about the dictionary and what words really mean and stuff, including Black's Law. And he takes apart all these words for us and stuff and figured all this stuff out. So that's why I brought him on here, was to explain the system and what we're in right now that we're facing. And really, it's all about being yourself again. Go ahead.
The self. Yeah, it's what's interesting, that word is, of course, not used in the Bible, but it's very prevalent, the notion of self being the blood untainted. And unfortunately, any member of any public person, any citizenship of any nation is considered to be an attainder, which means corruption of blood, even though the Constitution says no bill of attainder. When you are acting in the property of another, you're not considered by your blood. You have no right of inheritance, therefore, you do. You've just given it up through the birth process and accepting the person of the nation. Again, what Caesar rendered to you through his district. And so the problem is really what you were talking about earlier, which is a corruption of blood. The Bible's very much about keeping the pure blood, and you have the tribe of Shem, the tribe of the name that's always kept their genealogy and has always been in control passing the
crown. Can I ask you what Clint, can I say what kind of blood is that? Half human and blood, half what?
No, no, it's bloodlines and coat of arms and the blood on the land that stole all these people.
Remember that blood is a figurative term. Everything is figurative in the Bible, which really helps people to understand it. Once you get the definition, you understand that when you're talking about a pure blood, you're talking about blood that hasn't been tainted with fiction. You don't have a surname that is an agnomen, which is based on an event, not the family name, which is a cognomen. You don't have a social security number. You don't have insurance. You don't have you're literally
sovereign,
responsible for everything that you do. You have no insurances or anything.
You're totally sovereign, then.
You have no arms. They took
sovereign. See, sovereign, I don't like the notion of sovereignty because it implies that you have no law above you. And the only way we're ever going to truly get out of this is to have that, if you will, you can call it whatever you want, God's law, the law of God, natural law, whatever floats your boat, unless you have that higher law, which is, vulgarly said to be do no harm, although that's the satanic version, you have to have that, and you have to have the duty to respect all men equally under that law, or it will fail. So that's...
Got you. I read you. So listen, we've got a lot of listeners here, and Clint, and God bless you, and bless you, Miss Tams. It's been a while. What would you tell the listeners in the now that would make us move to a consciousness to try to get this black veil balanced, Clint, with your knowledge of law and your knowledge of your soul? Can you give me a direction so I can move on and share that direction with the listeners that I share with, please?
I've been researching this for some time. Tammy Pepperman and Bo there actually pushed me in a helped definitely to push me in the right direction, and I have been writing it all down, trying to. The only answer I can give you is the same answer that the Bible is going to give you, which is to separate everything into reality, or God. Nature, creation, whatever you want to call it, and fiction. And your answer lies in which side you choose. You either follow Christ under the law of nature and you shed all fiction, or you go into the legal system and you shed the law of God and the law of nature, and you give up all your unalienable rights, which they call, of course, the God-given rights.
Okay, well... I've been studying a little bit since the incident up in the North Dakota is happening, and they're trying to say that two prophecies have from two different tribes from two different areas of this nation have come about, and it relates with the Black Snake. The Black Snake is first prophecy was the BL. The incident that happened in our pond in below Louisiana, the Gulf of Mexico, that's an incident of prophecy proven by two spiritual nations that of the Indigenous people that have come. The next one that is coming is this one that's in the now with the snake being formed up there right now, that's the next black snake prophecy. Now, what's your feelings on sharing that ideology? Do you have any, that doesn't deal with law. That deals with people that lived in this world without any blood or whatever you want to call it, without anything. They were killed, knocked off, and I mean, they were eliminated. Along with the buffalo. Things are that it's showing with nature's animals coming to join them.
It has everything to do with law. And the reason I say that is, again, exactly what the Bible says, which is, to paraphrase, is that the only way that you can justify crime is under the law of man, the legal law. You find that the words like license and anarchy are the same words, lawlessness, chaos. You know, if you have a license to do something, it means you're breaking a law. And that's what the legal system is. So the reason that these snakes are being built in the first place is because there's a fictional flattering title placed on some corporation and some government agency that says, I give you legal license to build that snake, even though that snake might poison the entire water supply and watershed of many, many tribes and many cities and many, many rivers. So actually, yes, it has everything to do with law. It's because we choose to give and respect the law of men that gives everything that the Bible says not to respect, which is power and authority to names, flattering titles, and oaths, and governments, and religions, and everything else. It has everything to do with law. Without the law, these snakes wouldn't be built. And without that law, there would actually be, I think, what Tammy is trying to get across. Which
Wait, one more thing.
Why are treaties
just thrown to the dust in the wind?
What is a treaty? What do you think a treaty is, man? It's part of the law.
Why are they being neglected and thrown to the curb? These treaties that were signed to the indigenous people, they were thrown.
You're asking why does the devil not pay attention to a treaty? It's a really ridiculous question on the face of it. What Tammy is trying to say is that the law keeps us from literally killing to protect nature. The law of man that we respect and it causes us to be cowed by these people with badges and flattering titles, politicians, senators, congressmen. We say, well, if they say it's okay, we must sit back and allow such pollution.
That's not the answer.
So there's no Christian soldiers. There's no one to protect nature because no one's following in the law of nature, which says to protect it.
Yes, you're right.
And that's got to be stopped big time. That's the empire.
What we're talking about here is how this is all because of what we're allowing. So, you know, you have to look at your own, you know, way of being. You know, like when he says natural law and we should not do any harm, we're not just talking about each other. We're talking about the world.
That's right.
You know, so it's time for that. That's what's going on right now, right here.
I think the only one stepping up that I believe that we have
many of us
accountability is Trump. And he's getting-
No. There's all of us and there's all the people listening. And when we all see the real truth, like the curtain's already been drawn, it's just a matter of whether you want to be a part of the solution.
That's right.
Go ahead.
That's right.
Let me just say one last thing. And that is that there is no political solution to a spiritual problem.
No.
Yeah, there is. That we overtake, we shall overcome. And we need the people. The mass shall overcome, and I will not be stopped with my mission to do that. Over.
Well, the masses are stupid, so good luck with that.
I will have a lot of luck, and I will have a lot of skill.
I can't make somebody happy. Happy is the best thing that you can find in this world and the hardest thing to keep because you can't give it to anyone else. It's up to them. They don't even like it when you're happy because it makes them unhappy to realize they're not as happy. But you see, the thing is, you have to walk away and be you, and that's the solution. If enough of us decide that this isn't life and we actually go and live, like, you know, even if it takes going back to eating grubs, it's like better than living in slavery. So this is the solution. Be yourself, you know, find yourself and get out of this slavery. Go ahead.
The con.
Yes, con science.
The con negative.
All the words. Don't believe anything. Don't believe the Bible even. Everything is sat there so that you can justify and discern it yourself. We're not supposed to go on all these words. We're supposed to figure out ourselves what we believe.
I've got to give kudos to the jury that acquitted all the gentlemen and ladies that were involved up there at the refuge. They've made a major step. And we can't put that on the back page. We're moving into Vegas with the Bundy incident with the BLM. We are challenging them, and we got to grow with that conscience. And when we grow, the world is listening, my friend, Mr. Clint and Mrs. Tammy.
Well,
yes.
You know, that's all sideshow, Bob, with what's going on now.
It's not sideshow.
Nope.
But the thing that you're missing here is you forget that they killed Finnegan. Who was Finnegan? He was a rancher. Okay? He had a bunch of children, his ranch hands, that were adopted children. He was trafficking children.
He was a good boy.
So we put a bullet in his head, Jerry.
I know they did, and that can't be forgotten. That's part of the fight for freedom, like my father did. The bloodshed. That's part of it. We cannot forget that.
Wait a second. What happened was we wanted to ask a question to our rulers, and they did not want us to ask any questions. So they made an example of one of us. And we have to almost put up with that. The only thing we got out of it that
Finnegan
was great
was...
He wasn't a human being.
He was trafficking children.
You can put it any... We are all one. That's we cool. are the I am. I am the I am we all are. As soon as we realize it, we can take care of all these problems. But if you don't see a solution, then you're not part of everything. And this is what it is. We're believing in man and all of these issues and all of these nonsense things that keep us busy, wasting our time, like busyness, you know? But what we have to do is actually find ourselves and walk away from this mess and actually make like a system where we're all helping each other. We wouldn't hurt anything or anyone. That's the solution. That's working with the Creator. The Creator would never hurt a creation. So why don't we think like what would the Creator do?
I'll tell you what he wouldn't do.
Shoot, yes.
I'll tell you what he wouldn't do. He wouldn't be pursuing money at every turn. Wouldn't put everything in nature under the value of money or mammon. And he would tell you, hey, why don't you work the land instead of for yourself instead of trying to participate in commerce all the time? Why don't you get free from that system and
exactly where I'm at.
You're supposed to live instead of trying to fight it in a political way that you can never win. Because the system's not yours to win.
Yes,
it's not
it is.
Designed
We're
for you
win.
To
We're
win.
Gonna,
well,
we're,
no,
we're,
it's we're it, 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 he's right. It's not about taking back the system. We don't need any of that. The government and the system, governing you, is trying to make a problem so it's needed. It's not solving anything. Look at its record. It's never done anything for us. Go ahead.
Real quick. The people of Iceland conquered their government back, okay? They're a smaller nation, but they conquered it, and they kicked them out. They kicked them pastors out. We need to remember that as example. We cannot forget the people that have stepped up in the global world that are fighting with us. And have taken their lives. We cannot forget that. And Foy Finnegan is one of them. Okay, and
he was
I don't care
rancher.
What you say
he was
about
a child trafficker. Okay,
Finnegan means
what
the you
end.
Say
this
about
is
it.
The end.
What it is, it's a sign, and there's a sign everywhere. And what we're seeing is that this is how far we've evolved from all the things we went through. And if we can get our act together at this point and actually put together what we're seeing like a puzzle piece. If we could get the picture right now, we would all do the right thing. That's the solution.
That's right. Is Hillary the solution?
Well, listen to the genocide order. It's been just perfecting title on the genocide order since it was written. And there is basically a shift towards the public law. If you violate that, you're civilly dead, and perhaps worse, as Finnegan found out.
But civilly dead just means you can't deal with
this. This case is coming up, and we're going to kick some ass in that case, too. All right? The jury is going to favor that, and those boys are going to suffer, all those ABC bastards.
Make sure you
get
an attorney.
They're going down. They're going down. We know it.
You're going to have to get an attorney.
You make me laugh when
you're
you say
going
it.
Down.
So we've got 3 minutes left of like the best show I've ever heard, and the best guests and stuff all brought together. And Keith Richards is, I keep saying that for some reason.
Hey, just for fun.
next.
We can't really do anything constructive with 3 minutes, but just for fun, why don't we go around and see like who everybody thinks is going to win this election, just for fun?
I am. Because I'm leaving.
The corporation. I'd say,
the corporation. Yeah, the corporation. I'd say Satan.
I'm going to say Trump's going to pull it off.
Satan just means self in my book.
The ideology is that the accountability has got to be brought back to everybody. Nobody's above the law now. We, the people, have to point that and keep that on top of all points of law. We, the people.
Hey, guys, I got a question.
Is the Federal Reserve Bank still in operation? Because, you know, that's it, really. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the Federal Reserve's not going away, baby.
Hey, guys.
Good answer.
There's yeah, my answer.
Oh, I got my boys working on it.
Hey, guys, who won the World Series?
It was a fix.
My boys.
It was just a sign.
The owners won.
The owners, same.
Don't pay attention to that, man.
I know. But I'm just saying, everybody thinks Chicago won it. No, the owners won it.
The betting industry.
That's a corporation. But the ideology is, we have to all get a conscience, and we'll take this tail, and we'll kick its ass.
It's just that it added up to this chance now. You know, like, outlaw isn't a bad thing because you're it's not about that wall that's keeping us in.
Oh, they're going to build that wall, baby.
And it's going to keep us in, isn't it? It's not about keeping people out.
Did you see Z Nation?
We're shining.
Z Nation last Friday? They had the wall and the whole election and campaign thing all covered in a nutshell on Z Nation last Friday.
You know, that wall's going to have a nice, secure door in it so the Clintons can get their drugs across. Oh, and the balloons.
Of course.
Eyes open.
Vote one asteroid.
Thank you for letting me
raise one asteroid.
Thank all of you. What a great show.
Great show, people.
Get your chopsticks out or weapons.
Can you just drop the server, Scott, please?
You got it.
Night.
Enjoy it all. I will.
The original machine had a base plate of pre-famulated amulite surmounted by a malleable logarithmic casing in such a way that the two spurving bearings were in a direct line with a panometric fan. The lineup consisted simply of 6 hydrocoptic Marzal vanes, so fitted to the ambifacient lunar wane shaft that side fumbling was effectively prevented. The main winding was of the normal lotus-o-deltoid type placed in panendermic semi-boloid slots of the stator, every 7th conductor being connected by a non-reversible tremie pipe to the differential girdle spring on the up end of the gram meters.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio, taking the confusion out of transmutated lunar girdle springs for 4 years and running. Revolution Radio, the number one listener-supported alternative media radio on the planet. The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, good evening, everybody. I just caught the tail end of Tony's show there. Quite a panel of guests you had on, sir. This is Open Roundtable. This is, of course, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. the number one listener-supported talk radio network in the world, and that's thanks to you, the listener. So keep us on the air. We're in our fifth or sixth year now. I've been with the network about 3.5 years.